A scenic farm on the foothills of Mount Fife behind Kaikoura is home to a boutique distillery. Justine Schroeder founded Mount Fife Distillery 3 years ago now, and she's producing small-batch artisan gin. Cosmo Kentish Barnes is there to find out more.
I've just come into Justine's distillery here on the farm, and Justine, what are you doing? You're busy.
Oh, I'm busy, aren't I? Yes. So I'm just making a batch of Woolshed gin, and it really is looking at the botanics that I can find around the farm. So things like Kanuka, mint, elderflower, rosemary, and at the moment I've got a 40-litre copper alembic still called Bruce, and he's producing about 13 litres of 80% Woolshed gin from 30 litres of a neutral spirit. It's just a plain pot still, which is really good at distilling or redistilling flavourless ethanol into a flavoured spirit. And in this case, it's making gin.
What did this shed look like when you decided to take it over?
I couldn't even get into it. It was full of equipment. So I bought a container and all that rubbish is in the container now.
Can you describe the layout of the distillery? What can we see?
There's a bench where I put all my labels on. It's got my little testing still to the right-hand side. And there's a window that looks out onto the flax bushes and the mountain beyond in the gardens. And just in the corner onto the left is Bruce, the big still, proudly bubbling away over there. You have to go round a table in the middle, which contains the bottles that are about to be filled. And then on the far wall, you'll often see botanics hanging up to dry and also just stores of gin. Because this whole area is something called a CCA, so it's a customs control area. So there is quite a bit of paperwork that goes with a gin distillery.
So when did you put the botanics into the still?
So I put them in as I started this morning, so up at 6 o'clock to get my neutral spirit in the pot. The botanics are then layered into the column on two different layers. So juniper, coriander, angelica root, orris root, cassia bark, nutmeg. Those are the type of botanics that I'll put at the bottom. At the top, the flowers, the citruses, anything that's quite delicate, mint, all of that kind of stuff goes at the top. So the steam will boil up or rise up from the pot once you hit that magical number of 78 degrees. And it takes the flavours through the botanics and grabs the flavours into the swan neck, through a linarm, and then down into the condenser, which is filled with cold water. And that will turn steam. This is piping hot, this pipe here. But it'll turn the steam back into a liquid form. And out here is gin.
So that dribble,
yep,
we can hear.
The dribble, yes.
Is finished gin.
Yeah, not quite, no. This is sitting at around 81%. So I'll bring it down to 42%. And then I'll put it into something called inert vessels. Because although I want my gin to mature and to relax and soften and then become nice and well-rounded and a nice mouthfeel when you drink it, I don't want it to change flavours at all. So it goes into either glass or stainless steel.
So you dilute the gin with spring water from the farm.
I do another blend of gins as well, which is called Shearwater. And this is all about Kaikoura. It's kind of Kaikoura in a nutshell. So we've got looking at the Hutton Shearwater bird, found only in Kaikoura and on the mountain ranges of Kaikoura. So they breed in the mountains and they go to the sea to feed. So my botanics are the story of that flight path. So I've got botanics from the mountains, rose hips, blue borage from the creeks and the streams, and then Karengu seaweed from the Kaikoura coastline.
Do you grow juniper here on the farm?
I wish we could. It's like gold. Juniper doesn't grow in New Zealand as yet. So at the moment we get our junipers. There's a variety of countries around the world we can import our juniper berries from. But if I believe I've got my facts right, Massey University are working with a gin distillery up in the North Island.
And they are to see if they can grow juniper.
So juniper needs a very different soil from what we've got in New Zealand. So they've trialled it naturally and it's not worked. So what they've done now, juniper is a member of the cypress family. So macrocarpa trees, which are everywhere in New Zealand. Mm. And so they've grafted on juniper trees onto macrocarpa roots. Trees. But we're looking at a long-term process. And I'll tell you what, if we could, it would be brilliant.
How did you learn how to make gin?
So I went on a gin immersion course run by Jill McVinney from Alembics up in Waiheke Island. She does a variety of courses in Auckland out of the botanical gardens. So that's a really good way of starting. Just to give you a bit of an idea, you walk in there, there's botanics everywhere, there's little tiny stills just like my testing still, and watch them create something out of nothing. And then go and taste all the botanics and it'll fire up if you think you've got what you want to do, it'll fire all those kind of that stuff up.
What did your first ever gin taste like?
Actually, I didn't think it was too bad, but then I really enjoyed drinking, especially when I doused it with a whole heap of tonic. It was all drunk.
That is not going down the sink.
God, no.
So you do everything. You
everything.
Do the distilling,
yes.
Bottling, the labelling. I can see you've got presentation boxes there. Do you make those as well?
Yep. So I, from the creating the recipes to foraging, to drying, to making the gin, to bottling, labelling, marketing, social media, accounting, making the boxes. Now, the local guys in town, they actually, from the wood, they cut it all for me, local joinery shop. Then I stick it all together and make it. And actually, if you open one of the boxes, I wrap my bottles in a bit of Hessian, so it looks like a wool sack in a wool press.
Yes.
But that's a really good way of sending gin through the post system.
Fantastic. Well, could I have a wee smell
of
your
come over here.
Gins?
You're going to have a smelly vision, this, isn't it? That's a shearwater. You've obviously got that subtleness of the seaweed, but it's relaxed a lot more. And there's rose hips that start coming through, and that kind of brings a bit of a caramelisation to the end of your taste. So that's the thing that lingers. The blue borage will add a little bit of floweriness, and there's a wee bit of spice, which just rounds up the whole gin. So it is a oceanic gin.
Oh, I can smell that seaweed.
The seaweed, eh?
Yes, just a hint.
And the Woolshed gin. So the Woolshed was my flagship gin. So you got this woody kind of oaky pininess going on. Mm. There's a fresh mint coming through from the mint. You get a rosemary hit. There's some spices. A lot of people talk about an aniseed kind of hit, and that's probably coming from the cassia bark. There is a citrus hint coming in, and then elderflower really lingers at the end.
Mmm. Now, Justine, you are a midwife.
Yes, trained midwife, and I'm not registered anymore.
Yeah. And how did you end up here on the farm?
I met a husband that was a sheep and beef farmer. Well, I met my husband, I should say.
And that's Barry.
Barry, and he was a sheep and beef farmer. Yeah.
And his family have been on this land for a number of generations.
For a long time. He's a fifth generation of the Schroeders in Kaikoura. And they first started just over the other side of the Kawhi River, and then they relocated to this farmstead right here, and they've been here ever since. So being a midwife, I went to the West Coast and worked in Westport for a while and bought my first house at a tender age of 34, I think, and promptly a week later met Barry in a bar over in Kaikoura with a friend. And yeah, the rest is history. We're here and we've got two boys, one's 10, one's 11, turning 12. And life's full on because the farm's busy. He's a one-man band. And we've got 1,000 head of sheep that we run and 200 cattle.
What made you want to start this whole business? Because I guess it's been quite a big journey.
Been a huge journey. The earthquake 5 years ago was certainly a turning point for me. I was doing a little bit of midwifery down in Christchurch. The road stopped and they closed off for a month. And I don't want to leave Kaikoura to go for work. What if it happens again and I'm stuck outside the district? I need to get back to the boys and to Barry and the farm.
So then you realised that you wanted to do something here on the farm.
And utilise the farm. Yeah, so I think, you know, and I think we talked about, shall I raise more calves? Can I breed pigs? I end up with a gin. But if it's going to be a one-man band on a farm, then where's my point of difference? And my point of difference is I want to create gins which, A, depict the farm and who I am and who we are as a family, but B, I really want to depict Kaikoura as well in a bottle of gin. And I'm incredibly lucky to be in a position where I do have these botanics on my doorstep.
How much have you invested so far?
Not an awful lot, really, to be fair. In the big scale of things, when I hear about the amount of money that some people invest... Yeah. I mean, these stills are not that expensive, but certainly it's in the five-figure region rather than the six-figure. So business isn't my strong point, but I'm learning fast.
What does Barry think about all of this?
He thinks I'm completely mad. Honestly, I had someone popped into the gin distillery and Barry popped up with all the five dogs or whatever, all huffing and puffing outside the gates. And I'm like, they're going, don't you come in, those dogs, don't come in. And the guys here were saying, oh, this is your husband? Yes. Oh, now, which gin do you like? Oh, I can't stand that stuff, he goes. Later on, I said, Barry, do you think we could just maybe, next time someone asks you, could you say, I'm actually not a gin drinking man, I drink spates.
What is your vision for this distillery?
This is my absolute dream, is to build a fit-for-purpose distillery just on the other side of the house here. So at this level where you've got the most incredible views and have people come up where they can enjoy a little something to eat and see some gin being made and then taste some of the gins. That would be my ideal. That's my goal. I'd love to do that. I want to survive this whole explosion of gin distilleries, and for that I need to be clever and I need to just, you know, keep my overheads tight. And I am at the moment just at the tail end of applying for a full off license here. So as soon as that comes through, then I can offer tastings and tours at the distillery.
Are you loving this journey?
I think I stress too much about it at times. Certainly I have had sleepless nights, and it's really hard to find the balance. So if there was a negative, my balance isn't very good. As far as I've got young children, a farm, a husband, exercise, I'm training for multi-day ultras. But yes, the gin journey, this is my journey. It's wonderful to create something from nothing. It's really empowering.
And on a different note, what is happening on the farm at the moment?
Oh, crikey, right, the farm. Well, we've just finished lambing and actually tailing as well. We've ended up with 8 pets, which are lovely, a couple going to the pet show. So Barry, at the moment, we've just sent the last of our rising 2-year heifers and steers off to market. The export industry is really holding up very strong at the moment. And the bull's going out next week to the girls, which is good. And Barry's out there rolling paddocks. He's getting his brassicas in, reseeding a few paddocks as well. So just rotational stuff. So he's busy from dawn to dusk.
Justine Schroeder there at the Mount Fife Distillery near Kaikoura. She says her off-licence has just come through, which means she's now able to offer tastings, tours and sales at the farm distillery. For links and photos Cosmo took on the day, go to the Country Life page on the RNZ website.